guys might as well stay where you are. Unless you just have to go. Holy Ghost all over this house tonight. There's a whole lot in life you can't do anything about. But one of the most valuable and powerful things in life is your attitude. And you can determine your attitude. Attitude is a choice. Attitude is a fixed perspective. Attitude is, no, I'm not going to be the result of the pressure and the climate economically or spiritually around me, but I'm going to be an example of somebody that loves God and has his eye fixed on the North Star of the Word of God. And I've got an attitude about righteousness, and I've got an attitude about holiness, and I've got an attitude about revival, and about a move of God, and about angels in our midst, and about the gifts of the Spirit. My God, I believe God wants to do something in this house tonight. I know ARC's coming, but God is the I Am. The right here, the right now. I know Brother Marx is coming, but God is the I Am. The right here, the right now. We may not get any further than the text tonight. Take a good long look at everything that seeks to hinder you. Every predatory thing that wants to destroy your family. Everything that Peter was talking about when he said, our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may destroy, devour. Listen, he hates your family, and he hates your worship, and he hates your joy, and he hates your devotion to God. He hates your children. And he believes in every fiber of his being that he can overthrow you. Yes, he does. Beginning in verse 7. And everyone say, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. Make all the trouble you want, I'm looking over it. Give me all the obstacles you want, I've got an eye on something else. Create all the hubbub and circumstance you want. You can't take my eye off of what I have purposed my attitude to focus on. Everybody say, I'm going to look unto the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I ain't studying all the trouble. I'm looking to the Lord. Say, I will wait for the God of my salvation. There's a bus coming by, and it's a bus of depression, but I'm not going to get on it. I'm just going to wait for the God of my salvation. There's a bus coming by. That's a bus of backsliding and dejection. But y'all go on without me. I will wait for the God of my salvation. There's a bus coming by of worldliness and trying to find it in a bottle and trying to find it in a needle and trying to find it in the bed of another man or of another woman. But y'all go on without me. I'm not going to ride on that bus. I'm waiting for the God of my salvation. Touch your neighbor, say, y'all go on without me. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. I meant to bring it out tonight on my desk. I've got a little oval made of marble, and it's got an eagle on it. And underneath it's got Isaiah prophesying, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. You go on without me. I'm waiting on the Lord. You go ahead and set aside the word of God if you want to, but I'm going to wait on God. You try some man's recipe or design, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on God. Why are you sitting here acting like you're waiting on something? Because I am. Because he always shows up. And he always is right on time. And he always has just what I need. And when he gets here, I don't want to be somewhere else. And when he gets here, I don't want to be traveling with somebody else. My God, I feel Holy Ghost all over this house tonight. God. Say, I'll wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. No doubt about it. My God hears me. You believe that? My God hears. You believe that? Somebody say, my God hears me. He hears me when I pray. He hears me when I worship. He hears me when I'm talking about him. He hears me. My God hears me. I'm going to wait on God. Because God hears me. And he knows exactly what I need. That's my position. That's my attitude. That's my confidence. That is the philosophical construct that I operate within. Now God is giving this to Micah as a voice of God to a backslidden Israel and Judah. He's giving them the template for attitude. And they are a mess. And the scripture says they've all gone after other gods. There is none righteous, none that doeth good. I mean, you got guys like Daniel and his three friends. These handful of prophets that we've worked with here for the last several weeks. And they're good guys. But as a blanket statement, God said, I'm not going to pass by them anymore. I'm done with them. It's over between us. There's just a little handful going to straggle back from Babylon. He is setting then in that scenario, in that climate, in that place of abject desolation with Ichabod written across the door, he drops this on Micah. Verse 8, everyone say, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Don't start dancing just yet, buddy. Don't start the celebration just yet. I may be down. I've been down before. I may look like I've lost. The referee might be giving it the long count. But as Rocky Marciano said, I knew if I could just keep getting up. Joe Louis got knocked down 6 times in one fight. There's nothing more debilitating to your enemy when he gives you his best shot. Sends you scattered, strangled, smothered, and it's kind of like a Waffle House. On the deck. And he thinks, that's it. He's ready to walk back to the corner. But the crowd goes, And he turns around and he sees something in your eye. It starts in your eyes. It starts in your attitude. It starts in the sand down inside the man or the woman. Then he sees a tensing in that body and a mind that is willing that body to get up off the deck one more time. Somebody look at your problem tonight and say, rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Rejoice not against me, oh mine enemy. When, not if, when I fall, I shall arise. Attitude, confidence. I'm looking to God. I'm not worried about what it looks like right now. I'm just telling you, it's going to be all right. If you find me hanging off the side of a cliff, holding on by one hand to a little root that looks like it's going to break any moment, don't worry about me. No. Don't worry about me. Shake your neighbor and say, you don't have to worry about me. Because I'm looking to the God of my salvation, and my God will hear me. My God, do you believe that tonight? It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. When I sit in darkness, not if I sit in darkness, there's going to be a dark day that comes. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Tell your neighbor, I ain't a scared of the dark. Translate that for me, Oswaldo. Yeah, but that's a lot more formal and righteous than translate a scared. Yo no tengo miedo de oscuridad. Sí. No, no. Porque Dios tiene la oscuridad en su mano. Sí. Todo poderoso es en el nombre de Jesucristo. Todo poderoso es en la palabra de Dios. Yo no tengo miedo. Mis ojos son upon, son por él. ¿Eh? What? Son para Señor. Ayúdame. Sí. Gracias, gracias. Clap your hands. Lift him up. Give him praise. When I'm in the dark, I'm not afraid. If you find yourself sitting in the dark. How many of you are afraid of the dark? If you find yourself sitting in the dark, just say, I know you're here. I know you'd like to spook me. But God is about to turn on the lights. And you know what happens when you turn on the lights? All the roaches and the creepy crawlies run for the baseboard. That's what the devil does when God turns on the light. He's a big bluff. He's a big mouth. No. You got to get this. You've got to get this. One angel with one hand and one chain is going to bind him up and cast him down. You need to get on board with this tonight. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, God, my God that hears me, is going to be light unto me. Praise God. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Now you can stand or sit or lie down or whatever you want to do. Brother Butch, the devil knows he can destroy you. He knows he can. He's convinced of it. He's convinced he can overthrow God. You're a punk. He's got higher goals than you. You're just some fodder that he walks on in his journey on overthrowing God. He knows he can overthrow you. He has no doubt. He said, God, if you'll let me touch Job, I can make Job curse you to your face. I know I can. And he got his brains beat out. Came back the next day. I know if you'll let me touch his body, I can make him curse you to your face. Everything that could go wrong went wrong in Job's life in one day's time. Now, if you ever get to feeling bad and blue, you just need to read the book of Job. You really, really do. The little lady that gave me that little marble oval that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That little lady went to high school with my wife. We witnessed to her early on, but she didn't stick. She went out wandering. By the time we hooked up again, she had had two long-legged boys by one marriage, and she had had seven by another. And we went in the home and taught them a Bible study. And the old boy was Catholic, but he came right on in and lived for God. And it was a great, great story. And they'd walk in the house of God, and all those little ones would come along like little ducks in a row. You can have revival with a couple of families like that. All you need is two or three families like that. And then her husband got involved with her best friend and broke her heart. And when they went to court, it was so twisted, and she didn't have the wherewithal for an attorney. And she went in to this Molly Yard type judge that hated God and holiness and church people. And she sent that little woman with her children into destitution and gave that man a deal from the courthouse that you would never have believed it could have happened in the United States of America. She moved those babies into a neighborhood where the pizza man would not deliver. It's funny. Pizza guy wouldn't come. Crack all up and down the street. She had all the little babies in that house with her. Years ago, he was making about $75,000, $80,000 a year. And she was living on crumbs. And the whole system was designed to kick her to the curb and crush her. And she kept bringing her babies to the house of God. And my home church was kind of a traditional church, if you know what I mean. And so she was kind of a product of our Bible study and our teaching and our ministry. So she was out in the middle of that church. There's a lot of room, no traffic. And they loved her. They weren't hostile toward worship. They just didn't think it took all that. If you need all that, you do it. And she worshiped. And she was faithful. And she loved God in her little crummy house in the crack zone. And then she didn't have the health insurance anymore. So when the trouble started, she didn't see about herself. And by the time she did, she was already terminal with cancer. How can you make this up? We started calling her Jobette. And you gotta laugh when it's a dear friend. It's like, well, she said, God's gonna take care of it. Earlier, before she found out about the diagnosis, she said, it would serve him right if God took me, left him here with all these kids. She was prophetic. Because he and his honey have all those kids. And she's been walking in Jesus' shadow in the heavenlies for years now. But in the middle of all that, the week before she died, swollen and pain, just really awful in her life, in her body. Dancing. And I don't know if she said it out loud, but her attitude and her worship said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I know my God hears me. In this dark place that I'm walking in, he is light unto me." It shocked Satan to the core of his devilish heart when out of the rubble of Job's life, this little hand came snaking up out of the rubble and the ruin of a life and a family and every possession he had. And when he thought he had heard Job curse God, Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, and the Lord," he didn't even give the devil a byline, didn't give him any press in the matter. He just went straight to God. "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. My heart is broken. My life is in shatters. But rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for..." Come on, somebody needs to cross over. I'm telling you, there is the difference of night and day. There's the difference of mediocrity and true revival in this attitude and in this crossing over. It is the crossing over of attitude and spiritual concept and dominion. When you get a hold of this and you say, "You couldn't move me out of my experience in God with a bulldozer and 1,000 tons of TNT, I am here to stay. Live, I'm going to live for God. Die, I'm going to die for God. Rich, I'm going to serve him. Poor, I'm going to love him." Somebody ought to shout about all that right now. Somebody ought to give the devil a black eye right now. This is the attitudes of the patriarchs. This is the attitude of the champions of God. Habakkuk finishes his tiny book of prophecy by saying, if the fields are dead and the flocks are dead and everything is gone from the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. When everything goes wrong, I'm going to be worshiping God. I've got an attitude. I've got a mindset. It was in the rebuilders. It's in Nehemiah, who tells the people, no weeping, no mourning. I want you to rejoice. Because he knew the secret and he was embedding it in the foundation stones of that rebuilt Jerusalem. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Let me ask you a question. Are you happy with God? Are you happy with God? If you're a child of God, there's no murmuring. Come on, there's no... They died murmuring in the wilderness of unbelief. Murmuring is symptomatic of unbelief. Because when you know God's got it in the palm of his hand, there's no murmuring. There's just Paul on the deck of a sinking ship saying, be of good cheer. This is pandemic in those that are champions of the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning in verse 24. The apostle says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. A lot of people died under those 39 stripes. But he said, I took it 5 times. Do you know what that means? That means he got beat and he got back up. And he got beat, and he got back up. And he was beaten again, and he got back up. And five times they beat him, and he still carried the word of God into every town and every hamlet and every synagogue, because he had something fixed in his mind and in his spirit. And he said, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That was outside Lystra, and we think he probably died there. God raised him from the dead. He said, but I saw things in the third heaven I can't even tell you about. I suffered shipwreck 3 times. A night and a day I've been in the deep. I'm not trying to marginalize your problems. Kind of. You know, your problems can be so small, but if they get too close to your field of vision, they become gigantic. And you begin to be absolutely focused about the problem. But if you can lift your eyes up above the problem and begin to really get an eye full of how big and how great and how wonderful this God, your problem turns out to be a little ball of lint. Not that much in the overall scope of eternity. Touch your neighbor gently and kindly and tell them, don't choke on little problems. It's going to be all right. Does anybody believe that? It's going to be all right. We're not nearly through with Paul's listing there, but I'm gonna leave that alone. Just, I want you to know there's champions, not only in the biblical, but there's champions in the church. Sometimes when I preach out, I tell about Jimmy G. And I tell about when he saw the truth and he needed to be baptized, having broken his neck at what, 19? Yeah. He's been quadriplegic for 22 years now. Today, how about it? When I come by the cameras, the security cameras at the church, I always wave. Because Jimmy's got them on his screen on his computer. And when you kids are out behind the church smooching, he sends us pictures. I have never gotten a picture like that. In defense of our kids, but it does have a sobering effect to know that there's no place on this lot where you're invisible. Anyway, I tell about Jimmy, who, in that state of being quadriplegic, in the course of the Bible study, he understood that he had to be baptized in Jesus' name, but his trach wouldn't close off, and they wouldn't fit him with something where we could baptize him. And I said, Jimmy, this is just a real conundrum here. We need God to do something for us here. Because he couldn't breathe without his ventilator. And he had never been off of it in the whole time that he had been paralyzed. And so he's sitting there thinking about this, and he's praying about it. And he's crying. He said, I got to be baptized. I can't die like this. I got to be baptized. And so he looks at Sister Gail and he says, unhook me. Unhook me. I got to get this done. I've just got to do this. And he didn't know what he could do without it. I mean, that thing is breathing for him. Sister Gail unhooked him. And he just started rowing his shoulders. And as he would row his shoulders, it would expand his diaphragm. and he'd get a little air. And he went for a few minutes. She hooked him back up and she pulled him off. And he went for a few minutes more. And she hooked him up. You know, Jimmy can sit there all day now sometimes. That's not something that they said he should be able to do. So we wrapped him up real good and secure. And about six of us put him down in the big underground baptistry in the little white church down the street. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But when I hear from Brother Jimmy, it's always prefaced by, praise the Lord, Brother Son. Praise the Lord. How you doing, Brother Jimmy? Oh, I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm doing good. He's been a quadriplegic. At this point, he's lived longer than Superman lived. He's got a mom that works him with great ministry and keeps him and tends to him. And he has struggled. But you call him tonight. You knock on his door. And it's always praise the Lord. How you doing? I'm blessed. God's good. He has never told me. He has never once told me. I feel like giving up. I feel like turning around. In the same summer that Jimmy was injured, there was a young engineer here in the city that had a similar injury in a motorcycle accident. And he went to court to get the right to unplug himself and to go off into eternity. But because he had no vision of God and what God. You know, I believe we've prayed for Brother Jimmy about 10,000 times. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for him 10,001 times. We're going to pray for him 10,002 times. We're going to. Tonight, the devil is sitting on the steps outside Jimmy's house and he's saying, what can I do to get to this God? There's champions among us. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and tell him, God hears me. Some of you understand the difficulties that Sister Paula Cheetah has been going through. And some of you don't understand. And I won't explain any of it to you tonight. But just to say, it's a time of a valley and serious trouble. Saturday night, there was an impromptu prayer meeting here at the church. Some young ladies said, what can we do? And some of them said, let's go to the dog races. No, they didn't. They said, let's go to the church and pray. What a strange crowd of people you are. How weird you are. Truly alien in this culture and in this Egyptian world. They said, let's go to the church and pray. So they came up to the church, a group of young ladies, and decided they'd just have a prayer meeting. Well, Sister Paula Cheetah happened upon them or happened to be here or some way. I'm sorry, I'm a guy. I don't get details. I just tell the generalized story. If you want details, talk to a woman. Okay, so they came to pray and she was here. Use your imagination. Fill in the details. And so they begin to pray. Somewhere in the night, and I looked for Sister Brooke and I didn't see her here, so I'll have to tell this for her. Sister Brooke kept getting this impression, this prophetic impression, to go to Sister Paula and just tell her, God said that he loves you. God said that he loves you. But you know how it is when you get a word for somebody else. You go through all the gyration. Is it me? Is it me or is it God? Oh, I'd feel so stupid if it was just me. You see what God's got to work with. Come on, come on. So finally, God got tired of fooling with her. And Sister Paula was standing near her, or walking near her. And Sister Paula's Colombian by birth. And her first language is Spanish. No, yes. Colombian by family. See, there's the details. Some connection with Colombia, not drug related. She speaks Spanish. And Sister Brooke, who speaks no Spanish at all, was saying, "I love you. I love you." What was she saying? Te quiero. She said what?
Regoce, regoce, te quiero, which means rejoice, rejoice. You're dear to me, or I hold you in high esteem. It's a form of I love you, but not I love you.
Rejoice, rejoice. I hold you in high esteem. I love you. He couldn't get Brooke to go over and say it, so he just started saying it through her. Without her knowing it. And she doesn't speak a lick of Spanish. That, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And God is praying through Sister Brooke and bringing a message to say, I know exactly where you are. I know exactly what you're going through. I'm right there with you. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to rejoice. Listen to me. We don't want the devil rejoicing. Rejoice not over me, oh, mine enemy. I may look like I am down, but I'm gonna get up. It may look like it's bad. This is the part where the music goes, pow, 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 pow. Rejoice not over me. See how much more effective that is? Right now, in the face of your enemy, give God a little praise. Right now, in the midst of your trouble, give God some worship. Give God some glory. It's gonna be all right. 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 Hey. My God. Somebody get an attitude here tonight and say, rejoice not over me. Talk to him now. Talk to him. Come on. Rejoice not over me. I'm going to rejoice in the midst of my trouble. I get to party. He does not. I get to rejoice. He does not. You okay? Rule number one. Most important rule. You're going to get knocked down. And while you're down, somebody's going to kick you. And you'll probably eat some dirt. But here's rule number one, most important rule, always get up. Always get up. I can get up. I can get up. Greater is he who is in me than the pit that I'm in, than the trouble that I'm in, than the fall that I've taken. Whether it's self-inflicted, get up. Whether it's others inflicted, get up. Whether it's circumstance inflicted, get up. Get up. Touch your neighbor and tell him, rise up, my fair one. Come on. you're going to get knocked down. You listen to me. You can't get bitter about these things. Because you're either going to get up or you're going to stay there and then begin to rationalize why you're there. And in the process become bitter. And be able to tick off all the reasons why you can't. And why it's somebody else's fault. Some people get mad at God. Some people hate the preacher. Can't imagine that. Some people hate their brother. Or they blame their sister. It's the church. That's what backsliders do when they get together for parties. Backslider in a bar with other backsliders. Talking about the church. I don't even have to be there. I know what they do. They can't get away from it. They can't get, and they're telling you, I'm down, but I can't get up because that stupid preacher's fault. I'm down, I can't get up because it's Mariah's fault. If she wasn't such a horrible person, camper of the year, my foot, if they knew her like I know her. That's what the backslider says. But tell your neighbor, I'm going to get up. I'm never going to get bitter. I'm going to keep my joy. Samuel's sitting on the stoop, and he's weeping for Saul. And Saul has broken his heart and backslidden, and his hero has fallen. And God said, how long? Just tell me, how long you're going to suck your thumb? How long are you going to have a pity party? How long are you going to sit here and whine and moan over Saul? When I'm God and I haven't changed, now I'm paraphrasing this, and all the plenitude of God is still the same, and all the power of God is still the same, and the mercy and the goodness of God, and we're not going to let Saul, the nitwit, change the course of God's plan. We're just going to go down and get a neighbor of yours, and you're going to get your horn of oil. Touch your neighbor and say, get your horn of oil. That's what you need. That's what you need. You need more oil. Oil is the Holy Ghost. You need more Holy Ghost. That's what you need. That's what you need when you get down. That's what you need. Get that horn of oil. And let's go down to Jesse's house and find what God is going to do next. Let's all come down around the altar tonight. Would you come? As you're coming, every time your foot hits the deck, you need to be saying, rejoice not against me. Ah, my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. Ah. Let's do the last part of it. Sing now, sing now. Now this is a workshop. I want you to praise God right now. Hands, feet, voice. Now, we need a total participation tonight. That if you don't know how to dance, just come on, come on.
Blessed be the rock.
Blessed be
the rock. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock. Jesus is the rock.
Jesus.
Jesus is the rock.
Jesus.
Jesus is the rock. We clap our hands, we stomp our.
God. Let's clap our hands and join him. Bless his name. Get your game face on and look at your neighbor and say, I've already made up my mind. Don't get in my way. I'm going to live for God. When it's time to worship, I'm going to be a worshiper. When it's time to pray, my God, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. When the doors are open, I'm going to be there. My God ain't going to let nothing turn me around. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat.
Let it be the rock.
Hey.
Let it be the rock.
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 Let it be the rock. Let it be the rock. Let it be the rock. Let it be the rock. We have got the victory. We'll shout for all the world to see Shabbat.
God bless you. It's so good to be in the kingdom with you. So glad for the promise of God tonight. And if you are in the grip of devastating trouble or problems right now, whenever we minister like this, it's not to marginalize or to minimize your trouble. It's just to exalt God and say, God's got this all in control. I know what Sister Pam is dealing with objectively and cognitively. I've never walked where she's walking right now. But I don't hesitate to preach the word of God because that's her strength. That's her hope. That's her promise. Well, praise God. Praise God. Give him a little shout right now. Just give him a little shout. Give God a little shout right now. Give God a little shout right now. Give God a little praise right now. Give God a little glory right now. My God, my God, my God, my God. Well, God bless you. Sister Pam needs to meet with all of the team leaders who are pertinent to ARC. Your team has activity at ARC. She needs to meet with you in the prayer room right now. Share your love and victory with somebody. There's prayer here on Tuesday night. And there's an apostolic service here Wednesday night. God bless you. There is a Rotel chicken dinner over in the other building right now to help some young person make their way to Peak.